I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this very special episode of Come for Supper, the Stay Home Edition. I'm Alexandra Dudley, food writer, podcaster, and serial dinner party host. But like most of us, I've been spending a lot more time at home and a lot more time in my kitchen. And it's made me wonder, what's everyone else up to? For the next few weeks, we'll be going into the homes, virtually of course, of some of my favourite cooks, creatives, writers and photographers to find out how they're spending their time during a global pandemic. TV tips, must-read books and store cupboard recipes that will hopefully inspire some of us to have a little more fun while staying at home. I hope you enjoy this episode and thanks for listening. So this week, I sit down with a well-known stand-up comedian and one of my favourite podcasters. You may know him as a regular on BBC2's Mock the Week, or perhaps for his ever-entertaining podcast, Off Menu. As well as his sell-out stage shows, he has made countless appearances on television and radio, and last year even released his own special stand-up show to Amazon Prime. I must say, I feel quite lucky to sit down with him for the next 15 or so minutes. Welcome to the studio, virtually, of course, Ed Gamble.
Hello, how's it going? You nailed that intro. You're worried about the intro, but I think you absolutely smashed it.
Well, the intro, you've kind of got to do it seamlessly, right? That's the idea. So I try with it.
We never do that with any of our podcasts. That
you just wing it, though. People.
We wing it, exactly.
So first off, could you tell us what you would usually be doing on, I guess, a kind of Friday afternoon then?
Well, it's kind of a weird one because the life of a stand-up comic is very varied. I'd say normally I would have a gig tonight. Mm-hmm. So I'd be during the day doing very little and justifying it by the fact that I'm working in the evening.
Yeah.
Whereas I should be writing new stuff for gigs, but now I don't even have the gig to write for. So now I'm in this horrible situation of actually having to try and do stuff during the day to justify my existence as a human being and a stand-up.
Do you have that sort of weird pressure? I think a lot of people, especially creatives, have that pressure of like, now is the time. Now is the time to write the novel. Now is the time to write the, I don't know, new hilarious show. Do you have that kind of internal pressure going in, like the narrative?
I did initially and then realised that it was absolutely pointless. So yeah. I don't know, however long we've been in lockdown for now, first couple of weeks, I was like, I've got all this time. I can write a book. You know, I mean, talked about writing a book. Maybe, you know, I can actually sit down and start it. But, you know, there's enough pressure just waking up in the world at the moment. So
yeah.
I've removed that pressure from myself. And if I get anything done during the day, it's a victory.
You did a workout this morning, though. You have already confessed that. So you've definitely ticked that off today.
I did.
And you're recording. Well, that's two.
Exactly. So that's two things. I've got something after this as well, which is
three.
This is a busy, busy day. It's going to be, I'm really going to chill out this weekend. Three things in a day is too much.
Well done. See, but you are doing some work. I know that you did live stream a podcast, and have you adapted anything else to kind of lockdown life, so to speak?
Well, I do a radio show every Sunday, and I luckily have the technology here to do that live from my house, which is great because it starts at 8 a.m. So if I was doing it from the studio, I'd get up at just before 6 and commute. But now I can just walk up from my bedroom.
Roll out of bed.
It's a shame for Matthew, who's the co-host. He still has to go into the studio. So he's super tired and I'm just chilled here. Because they're worried because I'm type 1 diabetic, so they don't want to be responsible for any extra issues if coronavirus takes hold. So I get to chill.
Yeah, because that you're high risk, I guess. I mean, keeping it light, well, but it's high risk, isn't it, if you're diabetic?
I think technically, it's basically, I'm not on that list that they released.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a text or anything. So I'm not shielded as such.
Okay.
But if I did get it, it would be worse for me than some other people. So I don't know. It's a bit, the waters are muddy. I'm staying in.
Safe. And what about on a personal level? Because I know that you were meant to be getting married, although you did do a little ceremony.
Yes, we were supposed to be getting married last weekend, and the build up to it was pretty rough, actually. That's, you know, because you just keep thinking, oh, now we should be getting ready. We should be, you know, off work and getting ready for the wedding, and we'd be all excited. But the day itself was actually quite fun because we obviously knew it wasn't going to happen. We took each other's surnames as middle names. That's nice. What we decided to do rather than mess around with any surname business. And it was a fun day. It was a really fun day.
Did you cook? Did you drink? I'm assuming.
Did I cook? We drank a lot.
Good.
Actually, my fiance, she doesn't really drink that much. It's just not her thing. So if I decide that I'm going to get drunk, it does take on a whole bleaker sort of a bleaker perspective in that I'll open a bottle of wine and that wine is for that's for me. So we got drunk, we got pissed, but it was a fun day. I did like lamb kebabs.
Well done. God, that is impressive.
We're missing kebabs.
I was going to ask you what you were missing. So you're missing kebabs.
Well, there's an amazing Turkish restaurant around the corner from us and we probably would go there once a week. And it's shut. They've decided to not even do delivery, which is fair enough. So we're just trying to recreate that as much as possible.
I quite like that. We've been recreating kind of takeaway style nights. I made sushi and tempura the other night.
How did you make I wouldn't be brave enough to make sushi.
I got the good fish, but I did the whole, you know, all the rolling business. I did that. It's quite fun. I mean, it takes a long time, but if you sort of self-hydrate whilst you're doing that, it's quite fun. It's a fun kind of, you know, it's like Japanese date night, Italian date night.
Yeah, see, that's good, but I get quite frustrated in the kitchen. I'm constantly worried that everything's going to go wrong, and if it does, I'll throw a spoon on the floor, that sort of
thing. Anxious cook.
So I think anxious cook, and also I have no spatial awareness, and anything fiddly I end up just sort of smashing with my stupid little bare paws. So
no sushi for
rolling
you.
Sushi would just absolute disaster. I need to make big hearty meals where the presentation doesn't matter.
Have you been cooking big hearty meals then the last few weeks?
Done a few, yeah, because that's the most comforting food I find as well. So I've just been doing a lot of big one pot things like chili con carne, and I did an amazing tomato curry.
Oh, yum. And,
well, there's loads of stuff in the freezer now. There's like one portion of everything in the freezer.
Okay.
But it's been good. That's been the absolute bonus of doing this, because normally I'm working evenings and I do like cooking. So now I get to do it every day, which is great, with whatever ingredients we can get.
Yeah, I think it's definitely forced everyone to be, or encouraged everyone to be, a bit more creative, I guess, with the way that they're cooking. So have you got any recipe nuggets you can share?
I don't know. I wouldn't be so highfalutin as to say anything that I've just been picking up things from everyone else, to be honest, and just, you know, I would say I read recipes like they're novels anyway.
Yeah.
And I've got so many recipe books. It's just nice to have the time to finally actually do some of them. I read the Bon Appetit website every day.
Really?
So I've been, and I subscribe to the magazine and stuff. So, like, it's been nice to actually sit down and do some baking as well. I did some amazing tahini billionaire squares that were in the Bon Appetit magazine, which is just incredible.
I like that they're billionaire squares, not millionaire squares.
Billionaire squares.
Step up with the tahini.
They're up.
And what about other recommendations then? TV, films, books, podcasts? Anything that's kind of really grabbed you?
Well, what I've done, I mean, all this time I could have been reading. It's not I am terrible at reading. Like, I have so many books. I compulsively buy books and then never read them. The only thing the books are doing at the moment are propping up this.
Yes, I do that too. Here. I've got books here too. I do read them.
So I can see all the books in front of me going, oh, I should sit down and read that, but surprisingly can't find the time. TV, fine, but I've been going back and watching things that I've previously watched. I'm finding that quite comforting.
Yeah.
So I rewatched all of Breaking Bad. I've done that
so
already.
So good.
Yeah, just, and also I've got terrible memory, so every time I watch something again, it's like I've never seen it before.
That's good. I mean, I did watch Mad Men 5 times, actually. I think I watched it twice a year.
That's incredible.
Yeah, okay. Breaking Bad, that's a good one. Have you watched Normal People?
No, I've not. I'm very slow to pick up on things, so I'll see a lot of heat on social media for something.
Yeah.
And I think I willfully leave it maybe a few months, and then I will go and watch it. And of course, I'll love it, because I'm like everyone else. I'm a basic bitch, right? So I'll be well on board with it. But I think I like to kid myself that I'm not going to get swept along with everyone else.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it a little bit. Yeah.
It is worth it. Also, Tiger King, that's something else that got some big social media attention recently.
Now I got on board with that early, so I feel fine about that.
Okay, that's good.
So I watched that the day it came out because there's an amazing podcast series about that guy as well, about Joe Exotic, and which I'd listened to in full. So I was well aware of all the characters, but actually seeing them in the flesh is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, but also interesting that you listened to them before watching them. Did you watch the follow-up episode of The Tiger King?
No, I've not seen it yet. So that's over Zoom, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's quite different. But one thing I found almost kind of like uncomfortable was watching these people in real life, and obviously they are real in real life in a documentary, but they're very much kind of talking to the camera, and you just feel really quite bad for some of them. I mean, their lives are quite messed up, especially post the kind of documentary. It's all quite funny when you're first watching it, and bizarre. It's not the best, but it's worth watching.
I guess with all the editing and the sort of the way they can flashily put a documentary together, you almost remove yourself from thinking of them as real people. They're almost like sitcom characters.
Exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah. But it's worth a watch. So what about podcasts then? I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, but you are a professional when it comes to the podcast. Do you have a favorite podcast or maybe a few?
I've got a few in rotation.
Yeah,
I've got a few in rotation. I listened to Ellis James and John Robbins do a Five Live show, and they've been doing regular extra podcasts as well, like two or three a week sometimes. So they've just kept me in content for a few weeks. Brett Goldstein's film podcast, Films to be Buried With, is excellent. There's a podcast called Gossip Mongers, which might be my favourite podcast out there at the moment.
Interesting.
It is extremely rude. I have to put that caveat on it. So it's David Earle, who's a brilliant character comedian. He does a character called Brian Gettins, Joe Wilkinson, wonderful comedian, and Poppy, who she's run gigs and stuff. I've known Poppy for ages, but she's on the podcast as well. And they basically get sent in pieces of gossip and rumors and urban myths from people, and they read them out and discuss them. And inevitably, the majority of them are disgusting.
Okay, because I was going to say, are they fantastical or are they political or are they? I mean, now you're making are they seedy? Is that? I mean, that's where my head's going with the disgusting.
Seedy and gross. Like a lot of them are like, you know, gossip and rumours from your town when you were growing up, and all of those are like, you know, that guy on the high street. He wanks everywhere. Like it's basically like. But I think they have to sift through a lot of those that are quite similar, and they've had some crazy ones. They had one about a guy who took acid at a wedding, and then it's just all about his hallucination and what he thought was going on. It's called Space Worm, and it is, I think it's my favourite 5 minutes of audio that's come out in the last 5 years. It's so funny.
And what's the podcast called again?
Gossip Mongers.
It's a good title as well. Juicy.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so those
very,
are your top
very
three.
Very rude.
I mean, you said that you're missing kebabs. Is there anything else that you're really missing? Doesn't have to be food, could be anything.
It's mainly food, though.
Like, it's mainly food.
I really miss restaurants. I can't wait to get back to restaurants. Although I am just missing the tube as well.
Yeah.
I just really want to get on the tube and go somewhere. And, you know, I always complain about the centre of London being too busy, but I just want to go to Oxford Street, and I just want to go to Soho, and I just want to walk around and pop into a restaurant and go to a shop. And I just miss that. Just like days ebbing away of doing very little.
I miss paying for coffee, which is a weird thing. I miss the act of kind of standing in that queue and paying me, you know, for an overpriced cup of coffee that is really good. I miss that whole kind of community of that. So where's the first restaurant you'll go to then once this is over?
Well, on Off Menu, our sort of go-to restaurant that we big up all the time is Shack Fu Yu on Old Compton Street.
So good.
It's the best. And so I think they're probably there. But we've now got to the point where we big it up so much that we go in there and they know us now, because they get
handy.
So many people coming in and saying, we're here because of the Off Menu podcast.
Really?
But I actually think we've turned too many people onto it. So
it's now
too busy for us to enjoy it. Yeah.
Did you used to go when it was just the guy in a pizza oven? Do you remember before they redid it was just that pizza oven?
I remember the pizza oven. So I'd been quite a few times when the pizza oven was there.
And the little sake bar.
Yeah, and then they redid it. But what a phenomenal restaurant.
Yes,
and it still is as well. Yeah. So probably there.
Okay, so that's where you're going to go. And then before we come to the end, I want to know, who would you like to be in isolation with, if you could be in isolation with anyone, and why?
Well, I guess I am in isolation with the person that I'd want to be in That's isolation nice. With, because, yeah, it would be, I mean, it's worked out pretty nicely. I mean, before this happened, I was very busy and not in the house a lot, and was complaining about how busy I was and how much stuff there was going on. I didn't want this to happen. This is awful. But on the plus side, it means I get to spend a lot more time with my fiance. So that's been lovely. But, you know, apart from that, I don't know, I do the cooking. Charlie doesn't really like cooking. So that's my job. And she brings lots to the table.
To the table.
So if I was to pick someone else to isolate with, maybe I'd pick like a chef, like a really good chef. Like, who, I mean, you think about the best people, but there's maybe Tom Kerridge. I met Tom Kerridge.
Yeah,
and you know,
he'd
do
wicked.
Like good stuff, and he'd be a laugh, although he's stopped drinking.
He'd still be a laugh, though.
He'd still be a laugh. Yeah, but it goes back to the whole thing of I'd be drinking alone again, which is, can I bring people back from the dead?
Yeah. Oh, my God, you can bring anyone. You can bring a Disney character if you want to.
All right, okay. I'm going to resurrect Keith Floyd, and I'm going to isolate with him.
Lots of people say that. He's popular.
Oh, really?
He attends, well, when I normally ask people if they could have their three ultimate dinner party guests, and he's turned up to a lot of tables, as has Nora Ephron, actually.
Oh, nice.
No, never at the same table. But oh, yeah,
Bourdain as well.
Wicked.
I'd have Bourdain, for sure.
And you'd have a drinking partner and proper cooking. So that'd be good.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, do you think you'll take anything away from this time, kind of, that you'll take on post sanctions lifting? Could be a positive, maybe a negative realization.
I don't think there's any negative realizations apart from the sort of general state of the world. but personally, I don't know. It'd be awful to say that I will learn nothing from this situation. I think eventually I will learn self-discipline in terms of work, and I will learn to cherish time at home more, and time out of the house. So when I actually go out, and I won't complain about having too much to do or having to go here and there, I'll actually enjoy it, because I'll remember the time where I wasn't allowed to leave.
I think a lot of us feel that, to be honest. I think it's probably the one benefit of it all, and appreciating good coffee, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to do good coffee here. I've been ordering from various places.
Yeah, it's important.
But it's such a pain in the ass. Actually making a good coffee is such a pain in the ass. Like, I do the whole, I've got the Hario thing with the filter, and I weigh it all out and stuff, and I've got the kettle. But I can't be asked to grind it. And I know you're supposed to grind it fresh and all of that. I just can't be, no.
You need a good coffee machine. I got a great coffee machine. It's life-changing. It does all that stuff for you. But you still have to do the fancy milk pouring if you're a milk drinker, milk coffee drinker.
Straight black
espresso.
Coffee.
Me too. That's the way.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that's because I like it or whether it's just less hassle.
It's easy. It's also hardcore.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely.
Yeah, but now it gets me going in the morning for a day that doesn't exist.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Ed. That was brilliant.
Thanks for having me.
So, to anybody who doesn't already know where they can find you, where can people listen, follow, read, catch up with whatever you're doing?
Three podcasts. I do the Off Menu podcast, which is available everywhere you get a podcast. I do the Radio X show with Matthew Crosby. That is every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on Radio X, and there's a podcast of that everywhere. And I do a podcast about heavy metal called Lifers, which is a Spotify exclusive. So check that out. And I'm at Ed Gamble Comedy on Twitter and Instagram.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.